You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Nathan Zagura, Vic Carucci back with you on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. We'll be joined by Mary Kay Cabot from the Cleveland Plain Dealer and Cleveland.com in just a few minutes, but also want to remind you that you can make a difference for those in need here in Cleveland. Bring your non-perishable canned food items to the November 3rd game for the Cleveland Browns Food Drive. Volunteers will be at the First Energy Stadium gates collecting canned items and donations. Again, November 3rd, you can help out and make a difference with the Cleveland Browns Food Drive. I'm going to say something right now, Notorious, that I think may surprise you a little bit. I have something, a beef I want to get out there.
Uh-oh.
So I was watching the All-22 last night, the coach's tape. They put it on NFL.com. I was watching the game rewind.
Yes.
And I saw something that I didn't necessarily like from a guy that I love. I get a lot of grief around here. Josh Gordon's my pet cat. I can't say a bad thing about Josh Gordon. I love Josh Gordon. And I do. I think Josh Gordon has the ability to be one of the 10 best receivers in the NFL.
And he'll be flattered to know that you call him his pet cat.
No, that's what That, apparently, that's what Bill Parcells would call people like in the preseason. Be like, right, oh, who do you like?
But he's pet in the Hall of Fame and he's a coach. If I say it or you say it, it might not be received as well.
Never mind. Don't ignore that part. Not the point. The point of the matter is that I was watching the game, and there were quite a few routes where I felt like Josh Gordon didn't really run his route very hard. There was one time, a third down play, where Brandon Weeden was scrambling, and Josh Gordon just kind of stood there and didn't run to get himself open. And I want to see Josh Gordon help his quarterback out. Help him out a little more. You are that good, Josh Gordon. Believe me, you are. But the effort needs to be commensurate with the talent. And I remember you talking yesterday about Jerry Rice and the fact that Jerry Rice was at the end of his career with the Raiders and was on there working harder than anybody at a celebrity golf tournament that he was a part of. And I want to see Josh Gordon give that kind of dedication in practice. But most importantly, you practice how you play. But I want to see it in a game. I mean, there's no excuse. And I know Randy Moss, one of the all-time greats, was accused of doing the same thing. And, yes, you do want to save yourself at times. But I'd like to see on a team that's this young and on a team that's this hungry, I'd like to see Josh Gordon give that maximum effort on every single play because his talent is that elite. And if he wants to put in the effort and run each play and treat every play like it's the most important play and put in the effort that's on the you know, level of his talent, Josh Gordon's going to be not one of the top 10 receivers in the league. He's going to be one of the top 3 receivers in the NFL alongside guys like Dez Bryant, Calvin Johnson, maybe top 5, A.J. Green. He can be that good. But watching that tape and watching that, you know, there were some times where he's lackadaisical and the effort wasn't where I wanted it to be. And I am the biggest Josh Gordon supporter there is. I just want to see him give a little bit more. And I think he can help Brandon Weeden out.
Yeah, I'm with you on this because this was something I addressed in the preseason, in training camp. I wrote a column, and I usually during training camp I try to provide like 5 observations on each workout because there's usually more than one thing you can zero in on, and I like to just try to have a veritable buffet of stuff for people who read it.
A cornucopia,
if you will, on ClevelandBrowns.com. And I think most of our listeners have no clue what a cornucopia is, but that's okay. But that said, I think the what I saw from Josh Gordon in practice was a guy who didn't often enough come back for the ball, who didn't understand that you've got to help your quarterback sometime, that when he's going out there and making the effort under duress, which is generally the case, your quarterbacks work under duress, that's definition of the job, that he's doing that and he's trying to move around and he's trying to find a way to get the ball to you. You are obligated as a receiver to remember that, and whatever route you were assigned to run, run that route as precisely as you can. But as things break down, come back to the ball. And I think the very thing you saw on tape was the very thing that I was seeing a lot in practice. And it's just, you know, and I don't know what it's a function of. I don't want to call it. The easy thing is to say, well, you're lazy.
No, that you don't
care.
I don't think he is.
And it's not that. It's not a lethargy. It is more of a lack of understanding, I think, of the responsibility that goes with playing the position, that it's more than that your job does include that, that that's the, quote, overtime portion of running the route, right? You've got to do this extra stuff.
Yeah, and he does certain plays you watch, it jumps out on you how much effort he is giving. So there's no doubt in my mind that he has it in him. And I just want to see that effort given on every play, because I fully believe, and I've said it, I'll keep saying it, Josh Gordon is special and can be even more special going forward, and you just got to clean some of that stuff up. And I know it's been linked to guys like Randy Moss, who would be certainly one of the top five receivers to ever play the game, but Randy Moss was producing at that level immediately, and Josh Gordon right now is averaging over 100 yards a game. He's not the problem, but Josh Gordon can help with the solution by giving even more, by making sure every route he runs is as hard as it can be, because even if he's not the intended target, running your routes at full speed can open things up for other people. And right now, Greg Little and Devon Best need all the help they can get to get open and right. to make plays. They are struggling right now. And Josh Gordon, whatever he can do, whether it be as the primary target, whether it is as the decoy to kind of open things up underneath behind him, just give it all, man. Give it all, because you are special. You're a special talent. Just let the effort match that talent, and you're going to go big, 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 big places.
Yeah, along those same lines, while we're on this subject, another
but
guy
you never thought I would say anything remotely critical of Josh Gordon.
No, I know you would, because you study this, you break this down, and we, whatever, personal feelings of how you see a guy and who you're, quote, rooting for don't matter. What matters is what we see. And I think the people we're identifying are generally the people on a team that doesn't have a lot of stars on it that you look to make the big plays. And I'm going to bring up another one, and that is Jordan Cameron. And here's what I'm seeing these last couple of games that has been noticeable to me. But I've looked a little beyond this, but I've especially focused on the two games that he has been his most quiet since the season began. And I was trying to find the difference. And the truth is, the difference isn't all that much with Jordan Cameron and the way he's running routes. His success from day one of the season, and pretty much probably from day one of his career, is mostly when he runs these patterns that take him away from defenders. And watch when he's made his biggest plays. He's got a lot of green space around him, and he'll run those routes, and he'll stem them, and he'll take off, you know, run the prescribed whatever to the point of where he makes his cut. And it's after the cut to the outside or diagonally or however he's going is when he'll make his catch. Watch him hook up in the short zone or the intermediate zone. Watch him hook up in front of a linebacker. Unlike some other tight ends who really know how to play the position better than he still does. He's learning it, and again, we'll go to this learning curve thing. After a certain point, you got to finally say, you know what, you just got to know. He's in too close proximity for a quarterback to look to him and make a play. Quarterback will see him hooking up underneath. Linebacker's right there. Linebacker's right there with big long arms to just come in and converge. And so you're Brandon Whedon or even Brian Hoyer. You're going to hesitate to make that throw. The throw either has to get out incredibly fast, which we know isn't the strong suit of Whedon, a stronger suit of Hoyer. But in general, I see a guy in Cameron right now who is a little too one-dimensional with how he's running his routes.
And I think that will come with time. I think finding the soft spot in zones is something that you get with experience going against it.
Yes, I grant.
The very first third down in the game, they went to him on a sit down in front of the linebacker. He's got to work a little bit on his post up game, which, you know,
he's trying to be the hoop player right there.
He's got to refine that a little bit and work on finding those holes, because once he can start getting the low hanging fruit, those are low hanging fruit routes for tight ends.
Yes.
He's got the big play potential. So I think that
he gets the longer ones.
Yes, absolutely. So yeah. I think that's something that will come with time. That's a timing issue as well. I think that he had the timing a little bit better because Hoyer would get it out that split second faster. Whereas Whedon, if you watch the very first third down play, the linebacker was already on Jordan Cameron's back by the time the ball got there. So that becomes a difficult catch to make.
Yep.
But I think Jordan Cameron is going to be fine. That's something that isn't an effort issue. It's just more of a refining and honing of his skills, which is good, which is a good thing. When we return, we'll have some more good things as we are joined in studio by Mary Kay Cabot from the Cleveland Plain Dealer and Cleveland.com. You are listening. The Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.